This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. What's up, Bart Scott?
What it do? Let me move my mic. I always put my computer there, and I forget my mic needs to be in front of my face.
Doing all your research.
Not my computer.
Being all studious today.
Yeah,
on a Friday, a football Friday. We got a lot to go, to do here, including, you know, you did kind of predict Zach Ertz could be on the move, and the breaking news that we just learned a few minutes ago is that he is on the move, and the Eagles, after last night's game, they're now trading him to Arizona, to the Cardinals.
It's weird because usually you don't see people trading to people within the same type of conference, the NFC. They usually want to get rid of them.
Right.
That lets you know that, you know, they didn't have enough. The best offer came from the Cardinals, who's all in, who I think sent a cornerback in return. And I think really what you're thinking about is what you're going to start seeing in the next coming weeks are teams that think they're really, really close, trying to find some of these expiring contracts or young contracts that we know for players that won't get re-signed. This is smart. Like I said, better to make a move early than late. You kind of know what your team is right around now after the first quarter, going into the second quarter. Because of the parity in this league, you can't waste time losing games because you don't have the personnel to compete.
Well, we'll get into this deeper later on in the show. Again, Adam Schefter with the first report, but it is something that Bart said could happen at some point this season. Had a couple of teams that were in line for him, and it's the Cardinals. The rich get richer. And boy, what that offense now will look like if you add him, certainly to that with Kyler Murray. We want you to be part of Barton Hahn Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, ESPN Nation, presented by Dr. Pepper. College football's back. So are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper. It's the one fans deserve. Let's get to Straight Talk, Bart Scott, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that is, I guess Tom Brady's thumb is okay, right? And they really, I mean, it ended up being 28-22, but the Bucs were in control. Leonard Fournette in control as well in this game. But with all that going on, I want you, there's been a lot of talk about the taunting call on Avery on the first and 10, and it really did change things because the Eagles were, you know, within six, you get a stop, you get the ball back, you had a chance. But the taunting calls that they have made this year have become now a big part of conversations after a lot of these games.
Yeah.
What did you think of that one in particular when Fournette, Avery gets him out of bounds and Fournette gets up and they kind of meet face to face and they flag Avery because it looked like they butted heads and he obviously was looking at him and said something. And according to the rule, you cannot say anything to the opponent face to face. What did you think of that one?
I mean, I wish sometimes the referees would explain kind of what the penalty was about because there's certain things that you can say that are above, you know, where you're trying to make sure that you regulate the game. Because certain things that make somebody either try and fight you in real life or try and hurt you on a football field, like go after your knees, ankles, cut you, or something like that. So I wish that they would be able to explain, okay, well, he said this or he got it. I wish they could say why. You know what I mean? Like, you know, personal foul, taunting.
Well, it was taunting.
I'm saying, but he said, or abusive language or something like that.
Oh, what he, like what,
right.
What it was. Okay,
right.
I got
because,
you.
Because it's different when somebody getting up, I got you. And it's different when it's like, man, mother F you, blah, 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 right? And, you know, we know have been claims of people calling people the N-word out there. But that's different because there are two African-American players. But, you know, it's like one of those things, like you don't want a call like that to change who wins the game or loses the game. I thought the one last week with Baltimore, the dude punched him in the head. He got up and pushed him. This dude flopped like Ginobili. I thought he was a soccer player.
Doyle, yeah.
And it could have cost them the game because now that moved them closer
to
kick the field goal. And if you know, we're talking about that penalty, if we're not talking about Calais Campbell coming through and blocking it. So, I think that should be – and listen, I know people don't want to have things reviewable – but a lot of times, dudes be punching dudes in their stuff, grabbing their stuff, doing certain things. And then it's always the second person that gets caught. But, you know, spitting on people. If we can go back and review that in real time, we don't have to apologize for what happened after the fact. But I just wish they wouldn't be so sensitive with something like that. You know, you allow people in the heat of the moment to kind of say some stuff. I'm sure they're drawing back and forth. They don't collision courses, right? He's a running back. He's a defense player. They're going to have those type of altercations.
Right.
You can't take that out and expect guys to play hard and try to put their bodies on the line if you're not going to allow them to be able to get away with a little potty mouth.
Yeah, and right, especially in a big moment like that, in a big play where you just, you know, you're getting across the field, you're making a big tackle on somebody that had been, you know, really kind of running wherever, almost wherever he wanted in this game. But look, I'll say this, it's probably the most difficult thing about this rule, Bart, and you know this better than anybody because you played with so much emotion, yeah, is that you're asking players who have been doing this pretty much their whole careers, right?
Like, whole, you know, life. I mean, like when
you, you know, you make a big play, you know, there's jawing going on, always happens, a couple of things are said, and now you're being told you have to now flip that switch and stop doing it. And in a moment like that, it's so hard to do. And I do think this is going to be the transition period of that rule if they continue to enforce it.
I thought.
But do you think there'll be some conversations about how they maybe should just back off it a little more? Or because of what led to this, which is the trash talking and the face-to-face stuff leads to confrontation, leads to things that get out of control, and the referees are saying, okay, we can't police everything out here because it happens so fast that the next thing you know, these guys are yelling at each other, and now we've got fights and dirty hits and stuff. So let's start where it begins. No. See, and that's why they made this rule.
No, I think this was the overreaction.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
To somebody putting a sizzle reel of maybe, let's say, 50 plays out of the 100,000, yes, 100,000 that happens throughout the thing. Anybody, yeah, can make something to push their narrative if they do a sizzle reel for a short period of time about some of the things that they want to legislate out the game.
Right.
But what happens is now it's the overreaction, and now what happens in a postseason when somebody loses a game because something is so idiotic is this. You don't want the refs to determine the winners and losers. You want them just to sit there and be a steward to the game and make sure that everybody's safe and abiding by the rules. You don't want to be the potty mouth police. Like, as long as somebody's not like leaning over somebody, pushing them down.
But you've been in enough situations to know, though, that it can escalate. And the Odell Josh Norman thing is one example.
But it's supposed to escalate. What's the escalation? I get to hit the hell out of you. That's the beauty about football. If I'm upset with you and I don't like you in basketball, you make somebody make you mad. What do you do? Smack their hand really hard. Ooh, you smack their hand. Ow. Like, what are you talking about? In football, somebody talks some stuff, you get to pick them up and power drive them into the ground. Or you get to embarrass them on national TV by destroying them, you know, on your pass rush. Or running back sitting in there trying to sit in to pick you up on a blitz. He gets to either, one, cut you, or you get to blow his head off. So, like, that's the type of thing, that's the beauty about sports. Same with boxing. When you play a physical sport or hockey, somebody's talking some stuff, you get to check the hell out of them against the boards.
Yep.
So that stuff regulates itself. Like, if you want to wake up a sleeping bear and talk stuff and then he start hitting the hell out of you and running you over and throwing you into the ground, it's nothing you can do about it. But he doesn't have to do that in a dirty way. Just allow these guys to regulate themselves. Somebody talks stuff, how you check them is not by talking stuff back. You check them by knocking the hell out of them.
It's funny you say that because you bring up basketball. And what is the one thing about basketball that we have noticed that the game is no longer as physical as it used to be? It still is physical. Right. I mean, there are still games that you could tell that's pretty physical, but there used to be, like you said, a certain code, like the no layup rule, little things like that, that you just let somebody know, and it's not going to be easy. Don't come in the paint. It's going to hurt.
Exactly.
You know, and it was a different level.
A hard foul.
Like, we've got that kind of team, and if you're doing something, you're showing guys up. Like, I don't like in today's NBA, not to get off on a tangent, but just quickly, in today's NBA, where you can kind of showboat a little bit on a layup, knowing you can't, I know he's not going to hit
Steph
me.
Steph Curry doing every celebration three.
Well, I know you're not going to hit me because, yeah, I can do all this stuff. And while it's fun, that does anger another team. And if you knew, let me just make sure I get this layup, and I'm not going to do anything fancy because,
yeah,
they're going to make me pay the next time I come down down the lane.
We're going to run into a, you know, like when you're checking somebody full court, you pick them up and they set that nice mid court screen on. You'll see it. We've seen guys get knocked out
into a wall. But on the flip side, though, again, Fournette was part of that play and drew the penalty, and then that led to, of course, the Bucks going down the field and then being able to seal the game. Tom Brady was so good, though. It was really hard to imagine that Brady wasn't going to be able to ice this game,
yeah,
because he was just, I mean, fantastic. 297 yards, two touchdowns, 34 of 42, by the
still
way.
Throwing the ball a lot, though.
Did he not also make my argument that he is the best quarterback in the game? Come on, man. The GOAT, he's the best quarterback in the history of the game, and he's still playing at a high level. That, to me, makes him the best quarterback in the game just by default.
Lamar, the performance last night, he was so good. But Lamar just threw for 400.
I'm not saying he's not good. See, that's what I don't like. Just because I said Brady's great, it doesn't mean I'm not saying Lamar isn't great. But there's levels of greatness.
I'm just saying that performance by Lamar was better, much better than the performance by Tom Brady.
Because it had to be.
And guess what? Because Tom Brady ran the ball four times. For 1 yard.
Well, he's giving you something.
So that's a 0.3 yards per carry. Lamar Jackson was the leading rusher, too.
Here's why. He didn't have to because he got Leonard Fournette. 81 yards, 22 carries, 2 touchdowns. He also caught 6 passes of 46 yards. So he was a weapon. And Tom Brady said that when you have a guy like him and he is rolling, the Bucs offense is hard to stop.
He's a great back. I mean, he's big, tough, catches it, runs, blocks, does everything for us. So. Great to have him in there. Obviously, when he's rolling, it's tough to stop us.
Talk about the evolution of a player, man.
What's been wrong with Brady's voice? It's like he's been under the weather for like 2 weeks. You know, before they had the Bill Belichick game, his eyes looked sunken and stuff like that.
Well, no, he was losing his voice going into that game.
But he's looked under the weather. Like, I don't know. Like, he's looked under the weather and sounded under the weather for like the last...
It's avocado ice cream, man. It makes you feel better.
Like he's been fighting a cold or a virus or something. I don't know. It's just...
He could be.
You know.
I don't know, but, I mean, he certainly doesn't look like it on the field.
No, absolutely. But, you know, when you look at it, right, mm-hmm. and the beauty about this Tampa team is the fact that they have a flavor of the week. You know what I mean? You saw OJ the Juice Man featured. You saw this game.
49 yards, six catches.
You're gonna play us like this? Okay, this is how we're gonna attack you. Right? And so what happens is OJ gets rolling, Antonio gets rolling, Mike Evans only gets 4 targets. Right? And everybody seems fine with that.
But whose turn is it this week, right? It depends on how they play us and who we're playing and all that stuff. That's the beauty of this team, though. There's so many weapons. He's got a utility belt.
Yeah,
he really does, and it's just what do I need for this particular crime-stopping spree, right?
Bob the Fixer,
Bob the Builder. Is that what he is? He's got all the tools in the toolbox. I mean, no one's toolbox is as filled as his. I mean, he's got everything that you need.
I wonder if they're going to have to
get the job done.
I wonder if they're going to have to take something from his toolbox because now Richard Sherman's got the hamstring, so you need some reinforcements. And I don't know where they're going to get help from, but they're going to have to try and maybe take one of their tools from the toolbox. Because remember, OJ the Juice Man was a tool that he used in his toolbox. But that's only because Gronk is still recovering from the broken ribs.
Cameron Braid only had 4 targets in this game. It was really more of OJ Howard who had 7 targets. So that was the tight end of du jour for this game. So again, 28-22. Bucks are 5-1. And Bart, I mean, they aren't they just?
They're not even close.
Proving to you, what do you mean, not even close?
They're not even close to how good they're going to be.
Really?
Because
they're 5-1.
Because look what they're doing on the defensive side of the ball. They're struggling. They still gave up 22 points to this team.
Well, it was mostly
But I understand that
it was 28-7, wasn't it at one point?
Yeah, but this is the Eagles. Like you see them going against the Rams, the Cardinals. It's going to be a lot different. They'll be able to put up against this defense because this defense. It's starting to become, it doesn't get to the passer as much. And, they're struggling on the back end, and they continue to. Sherman was a guy that you got off the couch. Who the hell are they going to put in to replace him?
Yeah.
Where's that guy coming from?
Right. That's
the Arena League?
Yeah, that part is certainly the concern. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jim in Long Island has a question. Jim, what do you got for us?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say, not so much a question, but more of a statement on how what you were saying, Alan, when I turned the radio on about how guys in the NBA today, they wouldn't be able to make it back then. Like, think about like Harden or somebody like Trae Young. Let them go down the lane and meet Charles Oakley and Anthony Mason, stuff like that. The game is
Rick
not
Mahorn,
the same, and I really
Jeff Rulin.
I love that point that you make.
Yeah, all right, thank you, Jim. I mean, it was a different game, of course, a way different kind of game that was played more in the 70s, 80s, and 90s compared to what they're doing today. They wanted to get that physicality out of there because you wanted the skill and the talent to show. Just like in the NFL, you've got these great wide receivers who are incredible. Yeah, I mean, you have incredible athletes, and so what you wanted to do is let's make sure that part of the game is fun to watch. So similar to the NBA, you wanted to take out some of the physicality so they can be free to show off that kind of talent. But it does go to an extreme, of course, where I'm showing out and I'm making you look bad, and I'm as a defender thinking.
But if you can embarrass somebody and dog them, you should be able to do that. That should be the
motivation.
If
you're a cornerback and you get mossed, I mean, that's as emasculating as you could possibly, right? Like, just the guy just suns you. He's just over your head, and you know in your head, like, Yeah, but if I just put my shoulder in you, you ain't catching this thing.
Yeah.
You know, but you know you can't.
What I don't like is the amazing courage that these receivers have going across the middle now. Like, because you have you don't have – back in the day, you used to have to pay $200 before pass and go. And if you came in there and your quarterback was dumb, and you heard Tom Brady allude to it, like, we're punishing defensive players for my mistakes. You are not supposed to be able to throw the ball across the middle late in a zone where somebody's on the other side in a zone looking like, is he really about to throw this ball? Like, if anybody needs to do to figure out what it used to be like, just Google Keyshawn throw me the damn ball Johnson.
I don't want to watch
on
that.
Monday Night Football,
yeah, I don't
against
watch
the Detroit Lions. Dude got knocked out. His nose is bleeding. They gave him smelling salts, and he went back in the game later. But that's what you used to do, because that ain't the defender's fault. That's your quarterback fault for being throwing that ball.
Right, but too many concussions led to, of course, from plays like that, and that's why you wanted to get that out of
Keyshawn
the game.
Keyshawn can still read. He's okay.
He's a very smart man. There's no doubt about that. All right, so we'll continue with your calls on this. A lot of people want to sound off on what they saw last night, including, you know, the disputed call at the end for another controversial taunting call that kept the Eagles from maybe having the chance to get the ball back. But we also had last night, Bart Scott, we had a baseball game. And it was, and by the way, that was Straight Talk, by Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. So, I mean, the hype of this series, you squeezed everything, right? All the juice is out of the orange, isn't it? Like, from a series like this, you got everything you possibly could want. I mean,
you gotta win and go home.
Two teams that combined for 213 wins. And a series that now after this, when they went head-to-head this season, 12-12. 12 for one team, 12 for the other team. I mean, it's as even as you possibly could make it. This series had everything, Bart.
But?
It had everything. That's what I loved about it.
What I hate about
Think
it.
Think about this. Think about this for a minute. The run differential between them, 2 runs. The first pair of teams to have 105 or more wins in a single division. You had a heroic hit by a struggling star, right? You got that. But then the controversial ending, which to me is the bigger deal. This is what really, to me, what happens at the end. They lose. So the Giants lose. If you're, again, I know it's been over 12 hours now. So the Dodgers win game 5, 2-1. I probably just buried the lead and should have told you that from the beginning. To win game 5, move on to the NLCS. They'll play the Braves.
Really, Cody.
But
Bellinger.
The Giants in a season like this, well, that was a big, big moment for Bellinger. You have Wilmer Flores. You remember him? You're a Mets fan.
He cried.
Wilmer!
Yes. Let it go. Let it go.
2 outs, 2 strikes, and there he is. And Max Scherzer is in to close the game, which is, again, all part of the drama. And it's a pitch that is out of the strike zone. Flores.
He did not go.
Check swing. And if you watch every. We're watching it right now on ESPN Plus. There's just no. It's not even. That's barely a check swing. Barely.
That's robbery, and it seems always to happen to the dudes with the money. Maybe they just
so Doug Eddings is the home plate umpire. He had to ask Gabe Morales, who was the first base umpire, for the ruling. Did he go? Did he not? And Morales said yes. He swung. Game over, Bart.
They should be able to check that.
There's no review for that. There is no review. So that's how the game ends. I mean, we all have a problem with that part of it, because at least in football, all scoring plays, right, are reviewed. Right? In the NBA, the last 2 minutes, everything's reviewed, right? Like, they just make sure there's – just
not
make sure
close.
You get it right. This is not reviewable. And if I'm Rob Manfred, today I'm putting out a statement. And I'm saying we got it wrong. And it's unfortunate, but we move on because that's the rule. But I think you have to acknowledge it.
Yeah,
you should,
giant,
because we all know.
It's a giant. She's like, whatever, man.
But I have another problem.
So then that's where the conspiracy theories come in.
But I have another problem, quickly. This is the manager, Gabe Kapler, and this is him after the game talking about how his team lost.
A job very well done, and an incredibly successful season that at the very end just came up a tiny bit short, and I think this is the appropriate time to just share that the Dodgers pitched really well in this series and pitched really well in this game.
Come on, enough. I mean, come on, man.
He wants us to...
The immediate emotion is frustration, is what he said after the game. Disappointing. Called it disappointing. Bart, I think this was an appropriate time for Gabe Kapler to lose his mind. This would have been the time to take up for your team and everything you did this season. And I would have, like, I would have called out everybody.
Nobody's
now, what good is it? It doesn't matter what good is it. Yeah. Show me, like, did you? I know he's probably frustrated, but this is not the time to be monotone. That part, that really disappointed me. That bothered me because your team put everything they had into it and we're all the way up to the very end. Your batter did not swing. We all saw it. We all know it. And somebody needs to be called out for it, and that includes baseball, their rules, and how it's wrong. Absolutely wrong. And he was a bit monotone, and I kind of was disappointed. I was disappointed. He chooses to be that way, fine. Maybe behind the scenes he's a little bit different, but publicly, I'm sorry. My team had a historic season, and we lose on that?
But guess what he's doing? He had us arguing for him, because if he would have argued, then we would have said, man, he's complaining too
much. No, I would have had no problem
with that. Well, some people would have. But now, not because me. He's so like, okay, well, we lost. It's disappointing. They pitched well. Give them all their flowers. Now we get to argue his case for him. And we get to argue his case on our platforms. And we're not the only one arguing his case. I'm sure they're arguing his case on MLB Tonight. I'm sure they were arguing his case. So, like,
well, you know what I wanted? I want them to argue the case in meetings and say we got to figure out how to not let games end like this. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got the calls rolling. We will get to them. We will talk with you throughout the day. But coming up next, it's Friday, so we need to hear Barstradamus looked into his crystal ball, and he has seen NFL Week 6. That is next with your calls. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
We are presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit progressive.com. So we got the calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Anxiety Index coming up for all you NFL fans as well for Week 6. So we got the calls. We will get to your calls. But first, because it is Friday, and it is time now to go to Barstradamus to make his... the visions.
Yes.
What he sees in Week 6. So we begin Odell Beckham channeling Keyshawn Johnson saying, give me the damn ball. Does Baker, Barstradamus, get it to Odell against the Cardinals?
Oh. Odell Beckham. I see. He doesn't need head and shoulders to be successful. For the energy. In First Energy Stadium from the Dog Pound shall be the catalyst for OBJ. But will it be enough for Baker and his progressive commercials to push him past the Mandalorian? No. No, it won't. But Odell Beckham shall rise like the phoenix through the fire to prove that it's not him that is the problem. You either do or do not try. Not an option.
Okay, so Odell will be available, but Baker might struggle against the Cardinals.
Oh, yes.
And I love the Star Wars reference. By the way, through the fire, what are you going, Shaka Khan on me there? Isn't that her song?
I love Shaka.
Okay. We are moving on. The next topic for Barstradamus to predict. Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield all have fallen victim to Justin Herbert. Is Lamar Jackson next, or can he ride the Monday night wave?
Bartradamus. Action Jackson is undefeated in his career in the month of Shocktober. But we try to suck for a duck, but this is no ordinary duck. He is powered by the thunderbolt from the god Zeus, and he shall continue to slay all the mighty, mighty men that are put before him. Action Jackson and the Ravens have won by the hair on their chinny, chin, chin. And Action Jackson has cheek hair like Anthony Hamilton. And he runs out of magic this week as the boats continue the shock. The NFL.
See what you did there. Okay, last but not least, Bartradamus. Amari Cooper, he's also having visions. Have you heard? His visions are of a Super Bowl. But will it be super disappointment for Cowboys fans in Foxborough this Sunday?
I did not see Amari registered on the psychic hotline. Dionne Warwick did not give him the seal of approval. But he is on the proper path.
Oh.
Once the powerful offense of them Cowboys destroy the Patriots defense, mac and cheese shall be fed to Zeke's belly. Whoa! The Pats are in trouble. Trouble! Trouble!
So it is said. So it shall be. Thank you, Bartradamus. Also, the donator.
Hit me on my Instagram.
Bartradamus has an Instagram?
Yes. I go by my alias, Shallow Graves.
Shallow Graves.
At graves.com.
Also, the donor of said gong is Greg Olson. He has a prediction, Bartradamus, if he's allowed to make one.
Greg Olson?
Yeah, who donated.
No, absolutely.
The gong. The Jets will not lose this weekend.
I don't know about that.
Fair.
They may tie.
888-SAY-ESPN. 888-729-3776 is the number. Let's grab some calls on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Let's see. Let us go to Ken from Dallas. Ken?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, Shallow Graves, man. Motown needs to sign you. Love the voice, bro.
Shallow Graves. I really do think it's a character. It's a character. It has to be.
What?
Good.
I got two quick questions real quick. One is, do you really think Tampa Bay could win a Super Bowl with the defense they have right now? Because last year Kansas City went, and they gave up tons of points last year, and all you had to do was just outscore the other team. And my second question is, do you think the NFL players will ever do what the NBA players are doing, like, you know, superstars playing with other superstars because they want to win a ring instead of just getting a paycheck?
Well, that's starting to happen.
What do you think happened with Tom Brady?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think Gronk came back? What do you think Antonio Brown coming back for like $5 million, even after what he did last year? He could have got more money somewhere else. You look at
that's starting to happen. It really is. I mean, Aaron Rodgers kind of controlling now that franchise and bringing back players that he wanted back there. You're little by little, that's going to start to become
Julio
a thing.
Jones,
but
Deshaun
what about
Jackson?
His question about the Bucs defense, though, where they are right now,
they cannot win as secondary. Currently constituted. Like, this isn't sustainable for Brady, one, to throw the ball 42 times, which puts him on pace probably for what, over 500 passes in 1 year? Like, you know, no, eventually, you know, he's going to get got, right? And somebody's going to tackle him, sack him, and land on top of him and hurt him. The more times you expose him, the more opportunities you have for an older quarterback to get hurt or to hurt something.
The line did a really good job last night, and he was in open space a lot, had a lot of time on some of those throws.
All it takes is one cheapie.
Yeah, well, you
want to just ask Joe Theismann. Takes one.
Why even put that out there?
I mean, that train's never late, right?
We don't want to see that happen.
I mean, happen to Kobe, like, you know, old people get hurt.
You put it out there, didn't you? All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. So we will get your calls going, continue your calls, obviously, going with the anxiety index for week 6 about your team, your highest anxiety going into this weekend. Me, as a Jets fan, there is no anxiety because they're not going to play. And that is, of course, good news for us. So we'll get to your calls coming up next. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Bart and Hahn.
Back, Barton Hahn, ESPN Plus, ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, we saw last night game 5 of the NLDS and a controversial ending, but it's still an ending. And that is the Giants' season ending. The Giants won 107 games. Franchise record. Yeah. And that's a franchise that's been around a long time. That's a historic season for them. And it ends there in the NLDS. So you could argue about the final play and everything else, but the bottom line is they lost. And when you think about disappointments, I mean, teams that you say they didn't even get to the championship round, not let alone not win. I mean, what other teams do you think of? The first one, of course, baseball-wise, that comes to mind is the 2001 Mariners. Well, they won a league record 116 games that year, and they did not get to a World Series to even play for it. The Yankees beat them, and then the Yankees lost to the Diamondbacks that year. So that's one that comes to mind.
What about the Supersonics?
The Supersonics.
Who was that Mutombo beat? The only
yes, they were that 60-win number one seed. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of those that litter around, but I'm talking about like teams where you're thinking to yourself, certain teams are championship or bust, right? Like, you look at me like they should win a title. I mean, would the Patriots that the Giants beat, the 18-1 Patriots, win 16-0 regular season and then lose in the Super Bowl to Eli Manning and company, right? To Michael Strahan and company. Like, would you put them at the very top of the list as the most disappointing team to not win a championship?
Because that was a team that, you know, we thought was unbeatable. But also, you talk about, they lost in a championship. This wasn't the championship. This was the championship for all the marbles. So win every game but that one.
But that's what I mean, though. Doesn't that make it worse? That close. Yeah, you're right there.
It voids that season out.
That's what I mean. Now that they're not the only ones, because they are joined by the 2016
Buffalo Bills, man. 4 years in a row.
Like, every time they got there, they got blown out. It was only the first year they missed the field goal. Like, that was probably the most disappointing one. But, Bart, the 2016 Golden State Warriors, you're up 3 games to one. You won 73 games that season, and you're up 3 games to one. And you lose?
Yeah.
You talk about, like, that's another one where that's a disappointment. So you're right. The Giants didn't even get to the World Series.
Yeah.
These two teams, the Patriots and the Warriors, you would have to put them up there as teams that you should have won a championship and didn't in historic seasons. You can't give me two better examples. There's not another team that you could say, well, what about this team? And I was like, yeah, I'd put them ahead. I don't even know how I'd power rank them. Patriots, Golden State, they'd be tied for first. I can't even come up with a way to argue one over the other.
Well, for me, it's that Pistons series, man.
Now, here you go. Everything's Detroit with you.
When Isaiah rolled his ankle,
right,
like, that broke our hearts, man. When Isaiah broke his ankle.
Yeah, but the Lakers
were still. That was in the championship, though, but they would have won that game.
But the Lakers were still a great team. Like that series could have gone either way. It wasn't a surprise that Detroit lost.
But if Isaiah wouldn't have hurt, he was unavailable for that.
I understand. No, I understand. But this is different.
That's my childhood trauma, man.
I know. You always go back to that. But when you think about the Patriots and you think about the perfection of a season, which in the NFL, it's literally now, it's 17 games. It's impossible. Impossible to consider a team going 20-0. And they were about to do it. They were about to go 19-0. And they were that close. Maddening. Golden State, historic season, 73 wins, getting all the way, up 3-1. You're one win away, and you can't close the deal. It's just mind-boggling. So those, to me, are the worst. But the Giants at 107 wins, that's a frustrating ending to a season, not only with the call, but just the fact that you had a historic season and couldn't close the deal. We got more coming up. Thanks for watching. Barton Hahn.
Huh? Grant Hill.
There it is. Well done. Well done to Jake on the ones and twos. Jake the Snake, who will make his picks later on in the show as we do lunch money.
And you know how the Jets going to win today, this week?
Now, this is what we were mentioning. This is the Kanye version of This is Through the Wire. I mentioned
this is,
that
this is when first
you
single.
Said, oh, not you, but Bart Stradamus said Through the Fire, and I thought of, because I'm old, Chaka Khan right away.
Yeah, man.
And then you said, yeah, Kanye also used it as a sample. That's a good one, right? I like it.
But you know, like how the Jets are going to win this week.
How are they going to win? How
they're going to win because the former Jet Geno Smith is starting against the Steelers, and the more that they lose
that draft pick,
the better that Jamal Adams draft pick.
Can he finally win for us? Can he finally win?
He's
for
a
Manchurian
candidate. He's working for us.
That's what you hope for. Hey, the Road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. You got the ALCS beginning tonight. Red Sox, Astros, the haters ball. I mean, you got to respect them, but it doesn't mean you can't hate them. And I have a hard time.
One of them are going to the championship.
I don't even want to hear about
it. One of them are going to the World Series. Are you going to become?
Root for rain. Root for rain. I will be rooting for the National League regardless.
I think I want the Braves to win, man.
Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We've got more Hall of Famers on the show. Steve Atwater, he's joining us at 1 o'clock. You want to stay tuned for that. But we've got you right now. The Anxiety Index and the calls continue. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's see. Lou is in Dallas. Go ahead, Lou.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Say, hey, Bart, what do you think it's going to take for Nick Sirianni to actually start running the ball and stop running the six same plays every time? The RPOs, the wide receiver screens, the defenses are waiting on him. So what do you think it's going to take for him to realize putting Miles Sanders in there, letting them run the ball, and giving them the spark?
Well, that tells you also what they think about Jalen Hurts and his ability to process, that they're spoon-feeding him this user-friendly type of offense, because they feel like he can't process and see the entire field without pausing and holding on to the football. But you're right. They need to try and ugly it up a little bit and run and establish the football. And instead of this RPO stuff with everything spread out looking like the old Chip Kelly offense, putting his guys outside the numbers stacked and counting the box, you know, you got to get a little bit more sophisticated in that, because now people have seen it and now they just know how to stop it.
Yeah. Miles Sanders, just 9 carries, 56 yards. So his average was really good, but he just didn't get a lot of work. Jalen Hurts had more rushes, 10, and he went 44 yards.
They let you know they don't care about Jalen Hurts. They're using him like a used car. If he gets hurt, he gets hurt. Who cares?
Yikes.
We're trading for Deshaun Watson anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go. Let's see. Let's go to Glenn in Atlantic City. Glenn.
Barton Hahn.
What's up?
I got a couple points. What's going on? I got a couple points to make.
Yep.
When it comes to the way that game ended last night, it's disgusting to hear them say a play can't be reviewed. As me as a fan watching the game, everything should be able to be reviewed. Whether they change it or not, that's one thing. But to say they can't be reviewed, that's what really makes me.
Well, that's the rule. That's the problem. That frustrated me too. That frustrated me too, because you should have like a moment where it's like, nah, that has to be reviewed. So they're going to have to discuss this, because there's got to be a way. And was it Buster Olney or somebody? No. Eduardo Perez said that in Little League, a game deciding play, no matter what happens, is reviewed. And I think that for Major League Baseball, that's how you have to look at it. If it's a game deciding play, review it. And I also want to know this: if you're at first base, you're the umpire, and you know, because all officials should know time, score, situation, right? You should know.
Yeah.
So you're aware that there's two strikes, there's two outs.
And
if I'm not like if I'm not 100% sure I saw that bat head, if I saw it, then I'm not calling it. But he seems so, like, sure of himself that when you watch the replay, you're thinking, how could you possibly be that sure of yourself?
They should be a reviewable, and they should go back all the way to Secaucus.
Right, and they're going to have to figure that out, because you don't want to slow the game down with tons of reviews.
But game ending
definitely should be reviewed. Now, John Winter brought up a great point when we were talking about this before the show. Could you? What happens, though, if it's a called strike three? And it's clearly out of the strike zone. Do you now say, well, you should review that? I don't know if we want to take it that far, but that is also that's a swing and miss situation.
That's NFL. All scoring plays are reviewable.
Yeah,
not like it's a ton of scoring in baseball.
All I know is if I'm Rob Manfred, I would feel obligated to make some type of statement. The NBA does it. If there's a wrong play from the night before, a wrong call in the last 2 minutes, they put a statement out saying that was the wrong play. That was the wrong call. There's no reason why you can't at least put out a statement acknowledging it. Just, it doesn't make it better. It doesn't fix anything. But at least it acknowledges, yeah, we know something went, it went wrong. It went wrong, and we're acknowledging that it went wrong, and we're going to have to talk about it and move forward. And we will move forward certainly as well. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Back to the Dr. Pepper call-in lines. Let's go to Chris in Florida. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, man. Wanted to make mention about the taunting call last night.
Yeah.
Me personally, like when I played in high school football, our coach told us from the very first play of the game, if they didn't hear it in the box, then we were going to sit on the bench. He wanted everybody to know we were there to play. Now, you make it to the NFL, you're talking about best of the best players. So, I mean, you make an outstanding play on what's supposed to be one of the best backs in the league. Why can't you taunt? I mean, yeah, I understand the whole thing about fighting and all, but at the same time, you know, it's the best against the best.
Yeah, ain't nobody swinging on nobody.
Yeah, I'm with you, Chris.
Ain't nobody throwing no punch.
Especially on that play, I'm with you. I do think there's a discretion to it, Chris, and thanks for the call. Like, I'm with you, Bart. Like, you were probably involved in this so much because you were an emotional player.
You see my highlights of me and Chad. You see the little things I got on my Instagram about me and Chad. That was just a scratch. That was just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
Like, you should see the pregame warm-up stuff where people crossing over the 50-yard line.
You threw a flag at someone.
I threw a football at the back of Ray Rice's head, and he's my friend. What the hell you think I do to my enemies?
let's go to Dan in Dallas on this, Dan.
Yeah, man, and I just want to elaborate on that previous call. What's going to happen as far as competition level goes? You know, I mean, Bart, you are that defensive player that had those emotions that made those plays. Do we now take away what these guys work so hard for to gain and make that statement in a competition view? I mean, what's going to happen in the future? What's your input on that? If we can't just sit here and celebrate an accomplishment and a play.
Right.
When somebody taunts me, it makes me hate them. And when I hate somebody, it makes me go harder than I ever can go just because I want to shut them up. And if Fournette had a problem with him taunting, what does Fournette do? Next time I get the ball, instead of running out of bounds, I'm going to run you over and step on your chest. That's the great thing about sports. I can check you. If I think you talking stuff and I don't like it, guess what? Okay, oh, go ahead, he's going out of bounds. Nope. Coach, run the power right at this dude. But okay, we're going to double team this dude. We're going to crack block this dude.
And I also think, though, there's a level to it that you have to understand. Some things are out of line. Some things you just let it go. Hey, it's been a week of Hall of Fame guests for us, and we're going to talk to another NFL Hall of Famer next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.